Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
All right, friends, it's the second half of our twofer today. This is a weekly preview show as well as a streaming guide, all rolled into one, because they are one and the same. This half of our daily programming is dedicated to head-to-head leagues. Typically, you're in your playoffs, probably in your finals right now. If it's a Yahoo Public League, you might be over. I don't know why you're watching this particular episode if your league is over, but hey, I love having you around regardless. There are a small, very small handful of leagues in the head-to-head side that go all the way to the bitter end of the season. As a warning, once again, we will not be doing these shows daily next week. This is the last week we're going to be doing these shows daily, because next week it's all going to be about what players are upright. No idea who's playing on any given night, the final week of the season. This week we have a little bit of an idea, so we're going to kind of roll on that premise as we look at the best and worst options for this coming week. I have to do a preface on this. Hi, by the way, Dan Vespers with you from Fantasy NBA Today. This is a sportsethos.com presentation. I'm at Dan Vespers over on Twitter. The preface is that this week, and I started color coding this a little bit on the diagram you can see on your screen, Friday, if you look at Friday and Sunday, they're marked in red, kind of a light red, like a lipstick red. Because they're likely overflow days. I just wanted to kind of have those as a quick reference as you're building up your schedule for the week ahead. Friday is a dozen, Sunday is 13. 12 on Friday, 13 on Sunday. Again, you can run the numbers on the Yahoo side and just sort of like, you know, it's nothing is guaranteed. 12 out of 15 possible games being played on Friday is 80%. 80% of 13 roster slots, so 13 times 0.8 is 10.4. So in all likelihood, you will have 10, give or take, players going on Friday, airing towards 11, as more so than 9. But again, it's all like it's all confidence intervals to a certain degree. The probability is 10.4 is the mid. That's the most likely outcome. But then you'll have the curve on either side of that where anything between, you know, 8 and whatever and 12 is all very still possible. Sunday, I would say it's extremely unlikely that you wouldn't be full, because 13 out of 15 is 87%, and 87% times 13 roster slots is 11.3. So by all accounts, you'll have 11 guys and change, a third, not quite, of another player going on Sunday. So you probably won't have to do anything with streaming on Sunday, and probably not on Friday, but very much not a guarantee. And that's the funny thing about, you know, the way that Yahoo leagues are constructed, though. Short benches mean that you're less likely to have overflow. You know, even one extra player, even if it's four bench slots instead of three, it dramatically changes the odds of you being full on a given day. And I've tried to bring this up on previous episodes, and maybe it lands, maybe it doesn't. But again, if you're talking about 12 out of 15, again, that's 80%. 80% of 14 roster slots is 11.2. But you still only have 10 starting slots. So instead of 10.4, where you're probably full, but, you know, chances are you could have 9. It's not that insane. Versus 11.2, the odds that you'd have only 9 in that scenario are much lower. That's the difference between 13 and 14 roster slots. But I'm going to assume that if your league is still going right now, it's probably a Yahoo Public Prize League or some other default setting that went to the penultimate week of the year. And so you probably only have 3 bench slots and some ILs, but, you know, you can't rely on those guys right now. So you're sitting on the 13, basically, is what we're working with here. So Friday, you probably have about 10, give or take 1 or 2. And on Sunday, you probably have 11 and change, give or take 1 or 2. With that in mind, let's start with the best schedules this week. I know normally I talk about the worst, but the best is actually more intriguing, because the worst side is really heavily about what your day-to-day volume looks like right now. So the best schedule this week is an easy one. It's the Atlanta Hawks, and it's not close. I've left them up on the screen here for folks that are watching on the video side. The Hawks have the best schedule this week. It's not remotely close. Nobody else can claim that they go three times the first 4 days of the week. The Hawks can. Nobody else can claim that they have four games on exclusively quality days, meaning days where most likely everyone out there is sitting on under a full ledger. The Hawks go Monday, today, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. They dodge Friday, Sunday completely, while also front-loading the roster. But then there's this massive laundry list of teams that have the what you'd call the quote-unquote second-best schedules this week. It's basically any team with a four-game week where three of those games fall on non-overload days, or what we'll know, what I think is known pretty much across the board now as quality days. Sometimes people talk about quality days as days where there's only like two or three games happening, but really any day that you're not overloaded or not likely to be is a quality day, at least in my eyes. So this week, that's the other five. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday are quality days, because in all likelihood, you can add one or two or even three games played, and you wouldn't hit the overload marker, by all accounts. Once you get to like a 10-game day, that's when you start to say, okay, well, this is no longer quality. Like, there's a shot that I might be overloaded, and if I stream one guy, then I probably hit that mark, and so on and so forth. But the other days this week are, in my opinion, quality level. Today is six games. Tomorrow has nine, which, again, it's closer, but not there. Wednesday is also nine. Thursday is five. Friday is a dozen. Saturday is four. And, again, Sunday a baker's dozen. So Tuesday, Wednesday are busier. But, again, we can go back to the calculator and just say, what are the odds here? Okay, well, there's nine games going out of a possible 15. That's only 60%. Feels like a lot when you say nine, but it's really not that much. 60% of 13 roster slots is 7.8. So in all likelihood, you have eight or just slightly under eight out of your 10 starting slots full on Tuesday and Wednesday. So you should be able to stream about two guys. But some of you will get unlucky or lucky, depending on how you look at it. And you might have nine going on one of those 2 days. So it becomes less of a quality day. So nine is a borderline for number of games happening on a given day. Tuesday and Wednesday are not what you'd call traditional quality days. But in all likelihood, you can probably stream at least one additional player there, and it won't come back and burn you. Probably more like two. So the other best schedules, as we mentioned, any four-game teams with three games on quality days. Those teams are Brooklyn, Cleveland, Detroit, the Lakers, the Grizzlies, and the 76ers. One, two, three, four, five, six. Brooklyn, Cleveland, Detroit, the Lakers, the Grizzlies, the 76ers. I think my younger son just got home from school, so he may be coming running in here momentarily. What about the bad teams? What do you do? Like, how do you open up the roster slots? That, to me, is the hardest question of the week. There are three teams that I would argue have slightly suboptimal schedules this week. Chicago, although they play tonight, and then they have 3 days off after that. That's crummy. And then they play Friday, Sunday, so the two overload days. But again, how many of those guys in the Bulls starting five are you actually going to punt on? Considering they play today, and what are you going to get? You might get two-ish extra games out of that in the interim, but then you come rotating back to the games on the busy days. Do you now, are you undoing the overload? I would lean more towards the Spurs and the Jazz as the two teams that have a poor schedule this week where you can do something today. Because they each play tomorrow, and then they're off for 2 days. So just like the Bulls, they have one game over 4 days. But you could make a move today and try to front-load your roster a little bit. Like maybe if there's a Hawk floating around, you turn that one gamer into three. You could do the same thing with Chicago, but you could also do that after today. With the Bulls, you might as well just take the game they're playing before you make a move tomorrow. With the Spurs and the Jazz, you'd have to wait one day just to get to a schedule that doesn't get all that much better. And the other beauty there is Chicago's got five guys that are all really good fantasy players in their starting five. The Spurs have two, maybe three. Wemby, Vassell, when he's healthy, which he's not, where he missed the last ball game, and then Trey Jones is kind of the iffy one. And Utah has Colin Sexton, probably Walker Kessler right now, but I don't know if John Collins might come back and kind of blow that up. So you got a lot of question marks on these teams that are not necessarily must-holds. When you think about somebody like, for San Antonio, if you were thinking about Jeremy Sohan, or for Utah, you're thinking about Taylor Hendricks or something like that. That's a guy that you probably wouldn't miss all that much if he was your 11th guy going on Friday and Sunday. But again, I come back to one main point. Before I do that, I want to give you the quick, like the fast lightning round edition of who are some of the guys you could look at on those better schedule teams. For the Hawks, it's basically DeAndre Hunter and Bruno Fernando. I'm assuming everybody else is rostered. And frankly, DeAndre Hunter is probably rostered. But Jalen Johnson is back, so maybe he got dropped. You could think about maybe going that path. And with the other teams I mentioned, Brooklyn, Cleveland, Detroit, the Lakers, the Grizzlies, the Sixers, Dorian Finney-Smith, maybe Trendon Watford. He's a maybe. For the Cavs, it's LeVert, Struce, if you think he's going to play in the back-to-back in there, and Niang. Pistons, Shemezi Metu, Marcus Sasser. For the Lakers, it's Rui Hachimura. For the Grizzlies, G.G. Jackson and Jake LaRavia. And Lamar Stevens, I guess, could probably fall into that bucket. Maybe Kennard, but I think he probably sits out a back-to-back. And for the Sixers, Kelly Oubre, if he happens to be floating around. Campaign would be another one. I don't think Kyle Lowry plays in the back-to-back. He hasn't with the Sixers so far. So I'd be surprised if that magically started this week. But back into the strategy part. The strategy of this week comes down very specifically to whether you have available slots to use on Friday and Sunday. And it really not only comes down to available slots, but how many on top of everything else. For instance, I built a team that, for whatever reason, doesn't have that many guys going on Friday. I only have 8 out of 13 players going in my Yahoo Public League on Friday. This is not really by design. I dropped one dude, trying to remember, that played Friday, Sunday, today already. So it would have still only been 9. And that's the thing. Even though the average there would be 10.4, 9 is not that insane. That's without making any additional roster moves to pivot onto or off of that day. I happen to have a couple of Nuggets and 3 Cavaliers, and those guys don't play on Friday. They do play on Sunday. So my Sunday, not surprisingly, is busier than my Friday. By a couple of games, actually. It's not, I know Sunday only has one additional NBA game, but it's one that's critical for me because it has Cavaliers. So when I went into this week, I was looking at Friday and Sunday, and as of 12:01 a.m. today, I had 9 guys going on Friday, and I believe I was overloaded by 1 on Sunday. I think I had 11 going on Sunday. So I came into this week knowing that I could actually make moves and not worry about Friday, at least on the first move. Everybody that I had on my roster that played on Friday was going to be in my starting lineup for Friday. And so I had to look at my week differently, meaning I could make a pickup that played Friday, Sunday, replacing someone else, I guess, that maybe played Sunday or just somebody that was partially hurt or whatever, and it would still gain me a game played on Friday. I wasn't picking up a guy that was just going to like be my 9th or 10th guy and push someone back out of the lineup on Friday and Sunday. Yes, it was sort of a wash on Sunday. In fact, the example I can use here is TJ McConnell. I picked up for Vit Krejci, who I made a dice roll on Atlanta. It didn't work out all that well last week. But, I probably lost a game played there because Krejci didn't play on Sunday, and then I got someone who did. So I actually, my team had 10 guys going on Sunday, and I actually bumped it up to 11. So normally that's kind of stupid, but again, in this case, Krejci, he's been doing nothing on the fantasy side, so it didn't cost me all that much to dump him. Because 4 games of him, what the hell am I even going to get anyway? Like, minimal. There's nothing. So I didn't have to worry about it all that much. But also, moving Krejci's Saturday game to Friday didn't really hurt me. Or you could even say I moved his Thursday game to a Friday. So it wasn't like I cost myself multiple games played in that move. That's a bad example, though, because I took a guy that had the best schedule of the week. The other move that that I made was to unload Mitchell Robinson, who's questionable for the game tomorrow. There's no reason for me to hang on to him. And I pivoted on to someone who I think I had the exact same schedule as Robinson. Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday. What did I do there? I already forgot what it was. Oh, I think it was Delano Banton. No, they go every other day. So they go Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. Where the Knicks were Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday. So it didn't change my overload days at all. It shifted, you know, what 2 days my guy played the first 4 days of the week. Didn't, again, no real change there. No overloads became overloads. But I didn't have to move. I didn't have to try to abandon a game on Friday in particular. It's enough about me. It's a weird example that took us on a strange road that probably didn't provide any real clarity for you guys. What I'm trying to say is look at your roster and figure out how many games you have to wiggle with late in the week. If you're already maxed out on Friday and Sunday, what you do with your moves should be to largely avoid Friday and Sunday. In fact, and you're like, well, what's the point of going from 10 down to 9 on those days? The point of going from 10 down to 9 on those days, if you're moving off of Friday, Sunday now, is that you can move back onto them later in the week. So what I did was maybe a little bit harebrained, but if you have Friday, Sunday games that you can spend, it's totally fine to do it. Look for somebody that goes on, you know, max out those games on Thursday and Saturday. Because after Saturday's over, if you're not full on Sunday, you can use whatever moves you have left to fill up your Sunday again. It's a really good idea early in the week to use your moves to get on the non-overload days. Now, what I did was, maybe a little bit backwards. I sort of looked at it as, you know what, I'm just going to take guys that I think are playing really well right now because I'm not super overloaded. Someone's probably going to be a late scratch on one of those 2 days. So even if I have 11 going on Sunday, in all likelihood, I'll probably only get 10 of those guys actually into my lineup. So I'll just shuffle out the 11th and I'll play the 10th and, you know, call it a wash. But if you can, look for the teams and maybe the move is to wait through Friday. Like, maybe your Friday is 10 games. Maybe you save all of your damn moves this week and use 2 on Saturday and 2 more on Sunday. Or maybe use 3 on Saturday and 1 on Sunday. Because, again, if you play the averages, you probably have about 10 guys going on Friday. If you just play it through, on Saturday you probably have a couple, and on Sunday you probably have 11. That's my dog making noises. So on Saturday, you can use 3 moves if you wanted. All guys playing on Saturday and not on Sunday, if you like. And your 11 turns into 8 on Sunday. And then you use one more move on Sunday, and you turn that 8 back into a 9. But the beauty part is, because you had 11 going before that, you actually save an extra game. So you gain the games played that were happening anyway. And then you gain the game that you wouldn't have been able to use. It's a very strange week for streaming. Because a lot of what you do now won't matter later. There's only one team with 3 games in 4 nights right now. So your streaming options are extremely limited. And if you can't get DeAndre Hunter or maybe Bruno Fernando, I don't think that I would go that path. At that point, you might as well just hold your moves basically until the end of the week and then max out Saturday and make sure you don't have wasted games on Friday and Sunday. That's the short version of the long story on this podcast, is make sure you don't have wasted games played. My opponent in this league, which again is a battle for third place because I'm so pissed I lost on... My team just really crapped the bed late in the semifinals, but Yahoo Public Leagues, they do pay out for third, so now I got to make an effort at it. I'm not super used to doing that, but I'm going to do it here. I was looking at what my opponent did, and he didn't look at that end-of-the-week situation. I think he had 11, or he has 10 and 11 or something like that, and he made a move to a guy who added to those days. So he has wasted games late in the week. He picked up a guy that'll have 2 decent games early in the week, but I don't know if he's even going to get to use them later. Like, he shifted off a guy to get to someone who's going to get two games out of. So make sure that every game your team is playing this week counts. That's the story when you have a 12 and a 13 gamer built into your week somehow. Take away from some. Ha! It's like fantasy socialism. Take away from the days that have too much and give to the days that have too few. And it's like, oh, Dan, I like this one player I've got. Okay, great. Hold him through Wednesday. Hold him through Thursday or Friday. I don't care. Dump him late. That comes back to the discussion we had a bunch of times last week. That's like, well, okay, who's a good example of this? Because there's so many teams with wonky schedule this week. I don't know. That's a good example. Teams going like every other day. Let's say you have a streamer you like, and I don't know who we're gonna go to here. I need a good fringe play. Who's a good fringe play? Portland. Portland has some good fringe plays. Banton's a pretty good fringe play right now. And you're like, okay, well, Dan, they play Friday, Sunday. I don't know that I want to go to an Atlanta Hawk, even though I'm going to get to use all four of those games, and maybe I only get to use two of my Blazers games. Okay, you know what you can do? Hold your Blazers through Wednesday. And then pick up somebody that goes Thursday, Saturday. Because then it actually expands your options. Atlanta's not the only team that goes Thursday, Saturday. Denver goes Thursday, Saturday. They don't have that many streaming options either, but, you know, they're in the mix. Philly goes Thursday, Saturday. There's a couple of streamers on that club. You could go with a team that goes Thursday and some other stuff if you wanted to. Hold the player you like until their schedule gets to the point you don't like it anymore. And you'll have a better idea of what categories you're trying to attack. So don't use more than one or two moves today. Save the rest for Saturday, believe it or not. Unless you have like 11 on Friday and 13 on Sunday, then you can use it sooner. But in all likelihood, you probably have 10 on Friday and 11 on Sunday. So save your moves until Saturday. Thanks for watching, everybody. I'm Dan Vesperus. We'll be back with you another two shows tomorrow. Just keep it rolling. Have a great one, everybody. We'll see you soon.